Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Friday, May 29th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Riding solo today, guys. Got quite a bit of news to talk about, actually. There's a few fight announcements that you guys will want to hear about for sure. A couple of prominent fighters leaving camps. One guy getting into a bit of an argument with Dana White. So got a lot to talk about today. Did want to mention, though, that tomorrow, of course, is UFC Las Vegas. Me and Cole Sheldon, my co-host here of the podcast, we did the preview show on Tuesday, so definitely go back and check that out. If you missed it, we previewed all the fights except for the one fight that we didn't know about at the time, which was Daniel Rodriguez against Gabriel Green, and I'm going to pick Daniel Rodriguez in that fight, just in case you guys are wondering who I'm picking. But the rest of my picks, you can go and listen to that podcast from Tuesday. Okay, so let's get into today's show, because like I said, there's a lot to talk about today. I'm going to start with John Jones. John Jones and Dana White have been going at it for a couple of weeks now, really. Basically, John Jones, it seems like he wants to fight Francis Ngannou. Dana White said that he doesn't actually believe that he wants that fight. He doesn't think that these guys actually want to fight each other. These guys have said otherwise on social media. They've said that they actually do want the fight, but the financial issue is the problem. Basically, according to these guys, they want to get paid for a super fight, which makes total sense, especially for a guy like Ngannou. Ngannou, he does make a lot of money compared to other MMA fighters, but compared to someone of his stature, like a elite heavyweight, he should be getting paid quite more money. So John Jones, obviously, is on a good contract. He gets pay-per-view points. He gets a nice base salary. I think he gets $500,000 flat. He should get paid more, obviously, for sure. But he's getting a couple million bucks to fight, let's be honest here. But for a super fight like this, he probably does deserve a little bit more money. So on Thursday, Brad Ocko on ESPN interviewed Dana White, and he was asked again about this whole financial thing, the issue as to why the fight hasn't come together. Dana White basically said that John Jones wants too much money, and that's why the fight's not happening. John Jones, he says otherwise. He says that the financial issue was not the problem at all. He said he actually agreed with the UFC and that he makes a good amount of money. That was an issue. According to John Jones, it's just the UFC doesn't want the fight to happen. So he said game right now. It's kind of crappy as a fan, though, because this is a fight that I think a lot of us want to see. It's just a really exciting fight. I've wanted to see John Jones move up to heavyweight for like at least 5 years now. And I think he'd do really well at heavyweight. I mean, look what he did at DC. Beat him twice at light heavyweight, right? And DC's one of the best heavyweights of all time. I think John Jones would have a lot of success. Ngannou is an absolute machine. He's just on a nice win streak right now. He's at the top of his game. I think it'd be a great fight. So personally, I still want to see this fight. I don't see it happening, though, especially now that John Jones and Dana White are going back and forth. You don't ever want to bite the hand that feeds. In John Jones's case, he's done that many times throughout his career. He gets away with a lot of stuff because it's John Jones. He is the greatest fighter in the world, and he's allowed to get away with a little bit more than other fighters, so a little bit more leniency there. But in this particular case, it seems like these guys are really hot at each other. So I don't know. I mean, maybe this is just a play by John Jones to convince the UFC to get the fight booked. I hope this is what happens because I want to see the fight, but if I'm a betting man, it seems like it's going to be John Jones against either Jan Blachowicz or Dominic Reyes next. Those are good fights. Don't get me wrong. Really good fights. We saw what happened the first Reyes fight. Great fight. And then the Jan fight would be interesting. He's coming off a nice win over Corey Anderson, obviously. So both those fights are intriguing. Don't get me wrong. But to me, it's like this is the kind of fight John Jones has had for like the last 5 years. He's been fighting guys at this level. They're both good fighters. Don't get me wrong. But I'd like to see him really test himself against a guy like Ngannou. But it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. The tweet that John Jones sent down, let me pull these tweets out because, man, he was really laying into Dana White after what he said. So let's see what John Jones said last night. He's got a few different tweets here. All right, so he said, Dana White said, for the amount of money John Jones is asking for, it's not going to happen. You couldn't be asking for a more absurd amount of money at the worst time. Now, obviously, it is a bad time. It's not the ideal time for a super fight, so it kind of sucks that John Jones is finally like, okay, I want to move up to heavyweight now, like during the coronavirus pandemic where financial issues are rampant throughout the world. I get that. But at the same time, if the UFC wants to make money, this is the kind of fight that would make you money. So that's what Dana White said. And then John Jones replied, said, it's interesting to just sit here and watch your boss lie to the camera like this. We never discussed any increase in pay. Immediately, the conversation that was that I already made enough. I never made a number offer. So that's definitely interesting. He says, if you're not going to change my contract for the heavyweight, we've at least had the decency to be honest with the fans. I was over the situation, but I'm not going to sit back and allow Dana lie to the fans. I never asked for a certain amount of money. That's BS. So in John Jones's mind, he didn't ask for a crazy amount of money. We obviously aren't privy to those conversations. So we just kind of have to, you know, take the different pieces from what Jones is saying and what Dana's saying and try to piece together what the actual truth is. It's hard to say what that is. John Jones also further added some comments saying, I'm not going to give up hope the way I'm talking, taking this whole thing is UFC don't want to budget the John Jones heavyweight move up right now. They should have just said that. Lying on me and saying I asked for too much is just unfair, is unnecessary. So clearly John Jones is not happy with the UFC. And basically he says, if you're wondering, I'm not fighting with the UFC. I'm not mad at Dana. I'm just surprised they went that route. I said my piece, I'm over it. So is what it is. And then he said, it reminds me of UFC 151. That was the Chael Sonnen fight, or sorry, the Dan Henderson fight. Basically John Jones was supposed to fight Dan Henderson at UFC 151 back in September 2012, I think. And what happened was Dan Henderson got hurt like a few days before the event, like a week before the event. UFC wanted Chael Sonnen to take the fight on short notice. John Jones said no, he didn't want to take that risk. He ended up fighting Vitor Belfort 2 weeks later in Toronto. So that fight didn't happen, but that was one of like the first run-ins Dana White had with John Jones. And we saw what happened when John actually did fight Chael the next year in April 2013. And he finished him in vicious fashion. So, you know, Dana White wasn't happy about that point. But John, obviously, he still kind of holds a grudge over that. Kenshiro Doji, I believe John Jones for once. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, right? Like, you'd like to think that there's some truth to both sides here. But, I mean, Dana White's such a businessman. And the amount of times that he's, like, not told the truth, it's crazy, right? But then, you know, John Jones is not the most honest guy either. So there's got to be something in between. But you know, I look at Francis Ngannou because Francis isn't really like, you know, that guy that gets into trouble or whatever. And he's the one saying, you know, like it's a money issue. So I truly believe it is. But I think Dana White's kind of blowing it out of proportion. And to be honest with you, like if John Jones does make that move up to heavyweight, they should pay him more money. You know, like that's a risk that he's taking to create a super fight for the fans. So he should get compensated more for that. I understand what Dana's saying. It's a global pandemic right now. The economy's been hit hard. The UFC's been hit hard. They're not making a live gate. I'm guessing the UFC wants to save these kind of like super fights for like a live gate. But at the same time, you know, if they can get this fight done, maybe this is the only opportunity they have. Maybe John Jones is going to be like, screw this. I don't want to fight heavyweight after this. You know, maybe this is the one time in his life where he's like, I actually want to do this. No idea. I want to see this fight though, guys. I'm not going to lie. Does the Reyes rematch interest me? It does, because I thought he won the first fight. So I think the rematch would be interesting. I think a Santos rematch would be interesting too. And I think a Jan fight would be interesting. But what really tickles my fancy is definitely that Ngannou fight. So if you guys want to throw any more comments on that, throw it in the chat. Let's go to the next thing here. Dana White was asked about Kamaru Usman. So Usman, he hasn't fought since UFC 245 in Vegas back in December. Beat Colby Covington. He's on an 11-fight win streak. He's the welterweight champ. He's an absolute machine as well. He's a great fighter. Right now, it seemed like he was going to fight Jorge Masvidal. That seemed like the fight that was going to happen after Masvidal beat Nate Diaz and he had the 3-fight win streak. And now we don't even know what's going to happen there. So basically, Dana White said that Usman has three options and not one of them is McGregor. He said McGregor's not an option for Usman's next title fight at 170, even though I know Ali Abdelaziz wants that fight. Basically, Dana White said Usman has three options. The three options are Colby Covington, Jorge Masvidal, and Leon Edwards. Obviously, he already fought Covington and beat him, but fight was super close, super competitive. A rematch is warranted. I don't think it should happen next. I think Colby should have to get at least one win, maybe two wins, to get back in that mix. But I think the Masvidal fight is the one that makes sense. Leon Edwards is interesting too. They've already have fought before a couple of years ago. Usman beat Edwards by decision, but a rematch would be interesting. I just think that everyone's overthinking this. The fight to make is Usman versus Masvidal. Masvidal deserves a title shot. Usman should be defending his belt against the number one guy. And right now, the number one guy, not like by the rankings, because I think Woodley is technically, although I don't want to see that rematch right now. But we all know that Masvidal is the number one contender. So that's the fight to make. But it seems like there is another plan here. And it could be, you know, but to my next point right now, Jorge Masvidal fighting Nate Diaz for a second time, which hearing this, I just can't believe, I don't see why. Like, the first fight, yes, it did do really well on pay-per-view. We all knew that was going to do well. Masvidal, Diaz are both kind of stars, especially Diaz. He's a superstar. So any fight with Diaz in it is going to do well. Now, there was some controversy with stoppage. I personally think the doctor stopped the fight too soon. Having said that, Diaz was still getting teed off on the whole fight, and Masvidal would have won that fight, I think. So to me, like, a rematch is not warranted, especially like if they said it like right away, they're like, okay, we hate the doctor stoppage, we're going to do a rematch. But like to wait 6 months and then be like, all right, now we're going to do a rematch, makes no sense to me. Now, the only thing about this that wouldn't make any sense is that Nate Diaz actually wants to fight, according to Masvidal. He says that Nate's ready to go in July on the UFC 251 card. That's for July 11th. I think it's going to be on Fire Island. We have no idea still. It's still up in the air where that pay-per-view is going to be. But that's the fight that Masvidal would take. He wants Usman, though, I think. He does want that fight. But according to Masvidal, Usman doesn't want it. So, you know, Usman and his manager, Ali Abdelaziz, they've been calling out Conor lately. They haven't really been calling out Jorge. So I don't know what's going on with this fight, guys, but to me, that's the fight to make. It should be Masvidal versus Usman. I think everyone else is overthinking this right now. You know, that's the fight to make. The two best welterweights right now, put them together. Winner moves on. Loser, you know, does whatever. But for, like, McGregor to enter the mix, now Nate Diaz to enter this mix, it's just weird to me. Why not just do – and I've talked about this many times. Why not just do McGregor versus Diaz? If McGregor really wants to fight that bad and he's waiting for that title shot, why doesn't he just fight Nate, you know? Like, I don't think it's going to be that difficult of a fight compared to Usman. You know, Usman's a terrible matchup for Conor, in my opinion. Nate's not a great matchup either. We've seen them fight twice, and it was a tough fight both times. But I think he's a better matchup than Usman. So I really don't know what's going on here. Because, you know, if Conor goes and fights Usman and loses, then it's like, why would anyone want to watch that Habib rematch? I think right now there is some intrigue for Habib rematch. Not really with me, but I think there is some intrigue out there. But I'd rather see Conor fight, you know, someone that's going to bring the fight to him like Nate, rather than go up to 170 and just get basically wrestled for five rounds. And I think that's what happened. So, and we saw the betting odds come up for that fight too. So, you know, Conor's great. They got to get him back in there soon. But this whole thing with Usman's weird. I hope Usman fights Masvidal next. I don't want to see Masvidal versus Nate Diaz too. That's just my opinion. I know some people want to see that fight again. I'm not against it in the future, but not right now. It doesn't make sense right now. Speaking of Conor McGregor, got to bring him up again. Anderson Silva called out Conor McGregor this week, which was a very surprising call out. And it was at 177.65 pounds or something. It was some weird number. I'm guessing that's from the conversion. So, yeah, basically, Conor and Anderson it's kind of weird, right? It is weird, but there is some intrigue to this. You know, as crazy as it sounds, like, you know, at first I was like, man, this is a joke, right? He's got to be joking. And then I'm like thinking about it, I'm like, it's not that bad of a fight. I mean, I know Anderson's old. He's 45. He's the oldest fighter in the UFC. He's on a big losing streak, but it's still Anderson Silva. He's still a big name. If Conor wants to stay busy, this is the kind of fight he should take. Because right now, if he wants a title shot, he's going to have to wait till like December to fight the winner of Khabib and Gaethje. Maybe January of next year, possibly. He might have to wait a long time. If he wants to take a fight in the meantime, Anderson is the fight to make, possibly. So to me, it's an interesting matchup if it does happen. Even though I would probably favor McGregor. I was a little surprised, guys, when the betting odds came out and Anderson Silva was actually slightly favored at like minus 125. I was a little surprised by that just because of the losing skid. I know the size difference and everything, but still, I mean, Conor's proven he can beat guys at 170. So, you know, I know Anderson's a 185er, one of the best ever. He's fought 205. It was still kind of weird to me that he opened as a favorite, considering how much he's been losing. I'm guessing the odds have switched a little bit since then. Let me take a look quickly. Do they have the, let's see, Anderson Silva. Where is it? Anderson Silva, Conor. Odds are still basically the same. I just don't think anyone's putting money on it right now, and the limits are low anyways. So if that fight does happen, the line will shift, I'm sure, towards Conor. But, yeah, I mean, it's not that bad of a fight, guys. You know, it's kind of intriguing because it's two great strikers, but you still have to favor Conor, I think. Anyway, let me get to some comments here. Kinshiro, Dana can't remember 500 fighter salary, so I do give him some leeway, but we won't know. UFC won't pay fighters well. They only want you to promote yourself and give you a cut if the pay-per-view does well. And we know John Jones' pay-per-view does well, but I think John's looking for more guaranteed money rather than just the pay-per-view money. Seems like UFC's kind of pushing that lately, like, all right, we'll give you the pay-per-view money. But these guys want a guaranteed sum. Same with Henry Cejudo, same with him. You know, he's getting his pay-per-view money, but he wanted a, like, flat guaranteed fee for his show money as well. Conor versus Masvidal, that's a fight too. I'm fine with that fight, but to me it's just like, why is Masvidal gonna fight Nate? That's just so strange. I don't get it. Ali's manager, both Jorge and Usman. I don't think so. Jorge is with first round manager Malki Kawa, Ikawa. So no, actually I don't think that's correct, Kenshiro. Unless Jorge just left in like the last 2 days, but he's with Malki Kawa and those guys. But I will say that Ali, yeah, for him, he's looking to put together the biggest fights for his clients, and that could include fights with two guys against each other. So that's why Ali really wants that Gaethje Khabib fight, because he double dips on it, makes twice as much money. So I think that's what he wants. for Ali, both super fights make huge pay-per-view sales. Yeah, he does look for super fights, but in this case, Jorge's not one of his clients. Masiro says for the BMF belt, which fight, Conor Masvidal? Yeah, I mean, that fight, that's a fight we wanted. Like, when Conor knocked out Cerrone at UFC 246, who was in the crowd for that event? Who's been in Masvidal? And after the event, who were the fans saying they wanted to see fight next? They were saying, let's see Conor fight Masvidal. So that to me is the fight to make. Again, I'm just a little confused why Nate's entering the picture here, and Usman too. Usman versus Masvidal, that's fine. If Usman wants to fight Covington again, whatever. But, you know, to me, it's just kind of strange that Nate's entered this conversation for a Masvidal fight. I don't think he deserves it, quite frankly. All right, next comment here. Actually, Covington's next guy. Covington left American Top Team this week. James Lynch, my good friend, got the scoop there over at The Score. And, yeah, I mean, since he's left, he's gone after Masvidal, Poirier, and Joanna. He said some nasty things about them. So clearly there's no love lost. Basically, he said that, you know, he respects Dan Lambert a lot, but it's a fight, it's a business decision for him. He needs to leave the team, and he did. Apparently left a few weeks ago, from what I heard. I heard he's training at MMA Masters, which is a gym down in Florida. It's a really good gym as well. Not American Top Team good, but it's still a solid gym. So that's what I heard he's training at. But according to Colby in the interview with James, which I listened to, basically he's still working on putting together his camp. But he said that when he does release like his full team, it's going to blow our minds. You know, Colby, I know he's polarizing. I get that. He is a really good fighter, and I'm definitely interested to see what the move does for him leading American Top Team. Personally, I can't imagine it's a great move because I think American Top Team really is the best gym in the game. Having said that, we'll see what happens because maybe he does put together a great team. Maybe he gets some coaches, poaches them from ATT, brings them to his camp. I don't know. But as far as Covington goes, he really wants that rematch with Usman. As crazy as it is, there could be a chance that happens because, again, controversial stoppage. Also, I mean, Covington put up a great fight. Even though he lost, it was still a great fight. So that could happen next. But again, I think Masvidal is a guy. And as far as Colby goes, you know, if he doesn't get the Usman fight, you know, Stephen Thompson's called him out. That'd be a really fun fight, I think. Interesting matchup. Leon Edwards is a good fight too. Even Woodley, if Woodley wins this weekend, or Burns. So, you know, those are all good fights. But to me, I don't think he should get that rematch yet, just because he did lose his last fight. Give him one more win. And if he wins the next fight in impressive fashion, then get Colby back in that title mix. Speaking of title mix, Bantamweight title was released this week. No date, no location, but Dana White has confirmed that Jose Aldo will fight Petr Yan for the vacant Bantamweight title. Definitely a lot of thoughts about this one. So first off, Petr Yan definitely deserves this. I've been saying for months now that Yan should be fighting for the belt, not Dominic Cruz, not Jose Aldo. Dana White's heard my pleas and all the other fans have said the same thing. So Petr Yan will be fighting for that belt. I'm guessing the fight will be on Fight Island because he can't fight in the States, obviously, if it does happen, in this mythical Fight Island. So Aldo getting the title shot, that's the part that's controversial because, again, he's actually coming off two losses. I was actually, as his last two fights, the fight with Volkanovski in Brazil was at kind of a listless performance, just kind of got grinding against the fence. And then the fight against Marais, super close fight. I personally thought he did win the fight, but on paper he lost. So it's a little crazy, I think, that, you know, he's bypassing all the other contenders and getting this title shot. I know he's a big name, I know he's a star, he's a legend. He lost his last two fights. So to me, it is a controversial decision. I really don't know what to say about this, guys. Is it a good fight? It's an interesting fight. Don't get me wrong. Yan versus Aldo is a good fight. But why is Marlon Moraes getting so screwed right now? Like, I kind of feel bad for Marlon. And especially Ali's his manager. It's kind of surprising that he's not able to get him the title fight. Marlon right now is technically the number one ranked guy. He did lose to Cejudo. Cejudo's gone now. So Marlon right now is the highest ranked guy in the division. Yet he doesn't have a fight. He was supposed to fight Yan. Now he's being pulled from that fight because it's not taking place at UFC Kazakhstan because the card got canceled. So now Marais doesn't have a fight. Yan's fighting Aldo, and Sanhagen's fighting Sterling, and Edgar's fighting Munoz. And you got poor Marlon Marais doesn't have a fight. So I don't know what's going on with Marlon, guys. He's getting screwed, in my opinion, you know? Again, I didn't even think he won that fight, but you kind of got to go a little bit while the actual official results say, right? Like, you can't just say, we thought this guy won, so he's going to get the title shot. I mean, that's what they're doing, but it's kind of strange. So Marlon Moraes is kind of getting screwed here. They could have just rebooked that fight for the vacant belt, but either way, you know, Aldo getting the title shot, it's controversial. It's an interesting fight. I'll watch the fight for sure. I would favor Yan in the fight. It's an interesting fight, don't get me wrong. It's kind of crazy that a guy that's ranked so low in the division is going to bypass all these contenders. You know, again, the rankings suck, but, you know, technically, Jose Aldo's ranked number 6. He's going to bypass Marais, Sterling, Sanhagen, and Asad's Aldo to get that title shot against Petr Yan, who's number 3. And actually, Sterling's ranked number 2 as well. So he's kind of getting screwed a little bit too. I think they should have just did Sterling versus Sandhagen for the vacant belt. I mean, that fight's taking place next week. You would have had two title fights at UFC 250. They're choosing to go another route. Again, it's a good fight, but there is controversy here with Aldo getting a title shot. And people weren't happy from what I've seen. All right, a couple more comments here. Kenshiro Ali is a genius at MMA management. He is. You know, and he's definitely a guy that's polarizing as well and controversial. But you know what? You ask any of his fighters what kind of job he's doing for them, they love him. And sure, me and your friend James Linscott has a beef over Rose. What happened? Tell me what happened there. And what do you say? I want to have three rounds with James bare knuckle. James is pretty tough, man. You're pretty tough too, I know, but James is tough. James is my boy. I'm in James's corner for that fight. Masiro, Aldo name power. Absolutely. He does have the name power. We all know that. I don't know, like, all those pay-per-view sales have not been amazing over his career, though. You know, like, he's definitely a bigger name than these other guys, but two straight losses, getting up there in age. I don't think this fight's going to sell as many pay-per-views as the UFC thinks, but, you know, we'll see what happens. All right, next thing here, actually, Rose Namajunas, that the name was just brought up, but Rose versus Jessica Andrade has been targeted now for UFC 251, July 11th. Fight was supposed to take place at UFC 249. Dana kind of threw Rose under a bus a little bit recently when he said that she was the only fighter that didn't want to fight during the pandemic. But apparently that fight's going to take place now at UFC 251. We saw it last year. I was there at the fight in Brazil last May where Jessica slammed Rose and knocked her out. It was a really good performance. And now the rematch is going to take place. Interesting rematch. The winner, I'm assuming, gets a title shot against Willie Zhang coming up. Willie actually called out Rose yesterday, but it's not going to happen anytime soon because she's fighting Jessica. Robert Whittaker versus Darren Till. It's been reset for July 25th. We don't know where it's going to take place. I'm guessing Fight Island. Basically, they were supposed to fight in August in Dublin, Ireland. That fight's not taking place. That card's not taking place. So the fights still stay together, which is a great fight. Love this matchup. Great matchup. Winner is really up there as far as the title picture goes. Darren Till, if he wins this fight, probably gets a title shot. Robert Whittaker, he might get that rematch with Israel. But don't forget about Jared Cannon here. I think Paulo Costa is going to be the next guy in line for Israel, but there's a couple other guys there as well in the middleweight division. And the other fight here is Korean Zombie versus Brian Ortega. That's been rescheduled as well. No date and time or venue has been set for that card or that fight card. But that was supposed to happen at UFC Busan back in December. And we saw what happened. Korean Zombie ended up fighting Frankie Edgar, knocked him out in the first round, devastating fashion. And we're going to see the rebooking now, and there's obviously a lot of bad blood between these two guys. We saw what happened with Ortega and Korean Zombie's manager Jay Park, where he slapped him. I think it was at UFC 248. So they have some bad beef. It's a good fight, great fight. And you know, looking at the featherweight division, because I love this division, by the way, guys. Dana's already said Volkanovski's fighting Holloway again. We already know that. And then you have Ortega and Jung. That's 2 and 4. So we got the champ, number 1, 2, and 4. They're all taken for. Then you got number 3, Zabit, and number 5, Yair. I think that's the fight to make. I'd love to see that fight. I think that'd be one of the best fights of the year. So to me, that's the fight to make. And Dana actually did mention that the winner of Zombie or Ortega will get the title shot. But to me, it's like, if Zombie wins, yeah, he probably does. If Ortega wins, I mean, and Holloway wins, do you really want to see that rematch? Then again, if Ortega wins and Volkanovski wins, then it's a fresh fight and be a great fight too. So featherweight division is great, guys. And you also got guys like Calvin Kattar, number 6. It's just a great division. I love this weight class a lot. Sure, I disagree with James and okay, no worries. Fair enough. If anyone has any last second questions, throw them in here right now. I have everything on my list to cover is already taken care of today. So if you guys have anything else, throw them in here and I'll answer your questions. Let me take a look at any other news that I missed. I think I got everything though, guys, to be honest with you. That's all I want to get. But if anyone else has anything else, throw it in right now. I'll plug my stuff and then I'll answer any other last second questions. You guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, as you all know. Podcast is available at MMAoddsMaker.com. It's on our YouTube channel. It's also available at Apple, iTunes, Spotify, a bunch of other places. I really appreciate you guys to subscribe on iTunes and the other channels there. Trying to, you know, grow the channel. It's tough. It's growing slowly but surely. I mean, I know how many other podcasts are out there, guys, but, you know, I think I've proven over the last year that, you know, I really genuinely enjoy doing this with you guys. Love doing the live chat. Love talking about the sport. So I'd appreciate if you guys could just, you know, spread the word a little bit. It's been a lot of fun, but I want to grow it a little bit more too. So really appreciate that, guys. Also, check me out at bjpenn.com, always for the news. MMArings.net got an article there about UFC 250 and the other upcoming cards and why it's nice that the UFC is back in Vegas and its home base, and also a preview of Tyron Woodley versus Gilbert Burns. That's some last second questions here, and I'll take them right now. And Cheryl, James Lynch, you know who the real money fight is, me and you. He's going to laugh when he sees this. I'll tell him about it. But, you know, James is my friend, man. Masio, Zombie Ortega. Yeah, it'd be an interesting fight. I think I'd have to favor the Zombie, though, man, honestly, just because the striking to me is way better. Ortega's got good striking, too. Underrated, actually. But Zombie's got better striking, and his ground game's really good, too. I mean, Ortega's is better, but Zombie's is great. So, to me, that's a great fight. Okay, sure, I'm betting on Valentina's sister. I think she wins that fight too, but you know, a lot of people are not on the same board as us, man. Cole and the other people that were in the chat last on Tuesday were taking Chukagan as an underdog, which I can see. I think that the line should probably be a little bit tighter. Probably should be like a true pick'em, but I am going to lean towards Valentina there. And he's got Woodley being Burns. I remember you told me that. Yeah, it seems like the weird thing about this is like it seems like everyone I've talked to, except for me, because I'm taking Burns. My decision. I could be wrong, but if I get it right, I look like a genius. We'll see what happens. But it seems like everyone's picking Woodley, yet the line is staying pretty steady, which is kind of strange to me. It always makes me wonder, like, why is that happening, right? Like, who's keeping the line so tight? Because right now it's actually went down. Minus 165 Woodley, plus 155 Burns. So it's a super tight line, but I do actually kind of like Burns a little bit, but we'll see what happens. And going after Luke Thomas too? All right. Yep, and that's it, guys. All right, appreciate you guys tuning in. Have a great weekend, everyone. I will be back on Tuesday, so no Monday podcast. I'm going to be back on Tuesday with Cole. We'll be breaking out UFC 250. That's next weekend's card, and recapping this card as well, so it should be good. Hope you guys have a great weekend, honestly. You know, stay safe. I know that this coronavirus thing is still impacting our lives, but hopefully all of us can get out there and, you know, enjoy some nice weather wherever you are in the world. And hopefully there's some great fights tomorrow night. To me, the card looks pretty damn good on paper. I know that it's lacking big names, guys, but there's some nice matchups. So enjoy the card. Go back and listen to the podcast on Tuesday. And go to MMAoddsbreaker.com for my picks for the full card. Guys, have a great weekend. Talk to you soon. And I'll be here on Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. to break down UFC 250.